You know that that specific kind of anxiety you get when the data says one thing, but your own eyes tell you something totally different.
Oh, I know it well.
You open Google Search Console and, you know, the charts are all green, you're climbing the rankings, everything looks fine on paper, but then you actually do the search yourself.
And the reality on the screen doesn't match the graph at all.
It's completely unrecognizable. You see your link, sure, but it's buried under this massive AI overview, maybe a People Also Ask block, a Reddit discussion grid.
Right.
And you realize you're technically winning, but you're also completely invisible. It feels like owning a billboard on a highway that just got rerouted.
That is the perfect way to frame it. The highway hasn't closed. I mean, traditional search is still huge, but the traffic flow is being engineered somewhere else upstream by these AI systems.
Which brings us to today's deep dive. Welcome to the Content Ship Podcast.
This is a show about how content actually works today,
Yeah.
not how it used to work.
We talk about search, AI systems, and the operational side of producing content that really survives change.
And today, we are tackling a shift that I think a lot of people are feeling, even if they haven't quite put a name to it yet.
Yeah.
We're looking at traditional SEO versus, well, AI SEO.
And I want to be clear right from the start. This isn't just about optimizing for robots in some abstract, futuristic way. We're talking about survival. But I'd have to play devil's advocate for a second.
Go for it.
Every year, someone says SEO is dead. Is this just another one of those hype cycles, or are we really looking at a fundamental break in how all this works?
That's a valid skepticism. It really is.
Yeah.
But the source material we're diving into today makes a distinction that I think clears that up immediately. It calls traditional SEO the bill payer.
The bill payer.
It's what keeps the lights on right now. It drives the organic traffic you see in your analytics today.
So we are not firing the SEO team.
Absolutely not. No. But AI SEO, that's your insurance policy against becoming irrelevant. Traditional search captures demand people typing buy running shoes. AI SEO captures discovery. Yeah, people asking complex questions about which running shoes to buy for their specific knee injury, for instance.
So the mission today is figuring out how to manage both the bill payer and the insurance policy without, hiring a whole second marketing team, because, to be honest, nobody has the budget for that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And to do that, we have to understand the mechanism. The source highlights a massive number. Google reports over 5 trillion searches per year.
5 trillion. That is just a staggering amount of volume.
It is. And it proves that the classic behavior, typing a query looking for a link, is still the dominant force. But the interface is changing. And that means the output we're all chasing has to change too.
Okay, let's break that down. In traditional SEO, the win is pretty clear. I rank number one, I get the click. Simple.
Right. You match intent, you earn authority, you optimize your technicals, and you move from position 8 to position 3. The metric is click-through rate. You want the user to leave Google and come to your site.
But with AI systems,
Right.
they don't necessarily want to send you anywhere, do they?
No, not at all. The output for AI SEO is to be pulled into the answer itself. A win here might just look like your brand or your specific explanation becoming the quoted snippet inside that AI summary.
And a lot of the time that happens without a click, which is frankly terrifying for anyone who relies on ad revenue.
It is scary. But it's the reality of discovery now. If you're not in the summary, you just aren't part of the conversation. And gaining that spot requires a totally different technical approach. Which brings us to maybe the most technical but also fascinating part of this research, the concept of chunking.
This was the part that made me rethink my entire writing style. Because I was taught, to write essays, intro, body, conclusion, a narrative arc.
Of course, humans read narratively. We start at the top, we like a story, we like flow. But an AI model, whether it's ChatGPT or Google's Gemini, it doesn't read like that at all. It extracts, it looks for these high-confidence blocks of text that directly address a query.
So it's acting like a surgeon. It's just looking for a spare part to build its answer.
Precisely. It'll grab paragraph 4 because it contains the definition, and it'll completely ignore paragraph 1 because it's just, intro fluff.
Okay, but here's my worry, and I think a lot of listeners will feel this. If I start writing just so a robot can surgically extract my paragraphs, doesn't my content become incredibly dry? Don't I lose the human audience? I mean, nobody wants to read a technical manual.
That is the big fear. But the source material argues the opposite, and I think they're right on this. Think about how you browse the web today. Do you really sit down with a cup of coffee and read every single word of a how-to guide?
No. Never. I skim. I'm hunting for the answer. I'm scrolling past the life story to get to the recipe.
Exactly. We're all becoming extractors too. We want the nugget. So when you write for extractability, making sure a section stands on its own without needing the context from three paragraphs before, you actually help both the bot and the busy human.
So the beautiful, flowing essay where the main point is buried way down in the conclusion, that's dead.
For utility content, yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
If a sentence relies on the paragraph before it to make sense, if you're using words like as mentioned above or in this scenario, you are breaking the chunk. The AI picks it up, realizes it lacks context, and it just drops it. It becomes a puzzle piece that doesn't fit anywhere.
Okay, that makes sense conceptually. But let's get into the weeds. We know how to write in these chunks, but what are we supposed to be writing about? The source talks about moving from keywords to something called prompt neighborhoods.
This is such a critical shift. Traditional keyword research is pretty linear, right? You find terms with volume, you check the difficulty, you map them to pages.
Standard stuff.
But AI SEO pushes you to look at how people actually talk to these bots.
Because we don't talk to ChatGPT the same way we talk to a Google search bar.
Not at all. Think about the limitation of just a keyword. If I type CRM software into Google, Google has to guess what I want. Do I want to buy one? Do I want a definition? Am I looking for a login page?
So it gives me a buffet. 10 glue links, some ads, a map pack. It just throws spaghetti at the wall.
Right. But in AI prompt, the user sets the constraints. They don't just type CRM software. They type, I run a small real estate agency with 5 agents. We need a CRM that integrates with Zillow and costs under $50 a month. What are my top 3 options?
That is a radically different signal.
That is a prompt neighborhood. The user has defined the context real estate, the constraint under $50, and the format top 3 options.
And if my content just generically lists the top 10 CRMs without any of those specific details?
You are totally invisible to that answer. The AI can't match you to the constraint because you never provided the data. The source actually identified 4 specific clusters where these prompts tend to happen.
Okay, let's run through them because this feels like where the actionable advice is. The first one is decision criteria.
This is all the boring stuff that actually matters. Pricing tiers, compliance certifications, implementation time.
The stuff that marketing teams usually hide behind a contact us form because they want to get you on a sales call.
Exactly. And that's why they lose an AI search. Mm. If the AI doesn't know you have SOC2 compliance because it's gated or buried in some PDF, it won't recommend you to the user asking for secure enterprise tools.
Got it. So that's decision criteria. The second cluster is comparisons.
Right, which is classic affiliate territory, but it's more conversational now. How does X compare to Y for a beginner? The third is implementation detail. How do I actually do this thing? And the fourth is definitions, but specifically tied to a job to be done.
So the strategy here, do we need to go out and create 1,000 new pages for every possible question? Because I can just hear the content teams groaning already.
Please don't. That's the trap. The scalable move, especially for smaller teams, is to keep your existing keyword set, keep your core pages, but you add a prompt layer on top of them.
A prompt layer. So I'm taking my page that already ranks for, say, content audit, and I'm doing what with it?
You're just ensuring that page also answers the follow-up questions an AI tool would synthesize. So if you rank for content audit, you add a section that answers, how do I run a content audit with limited resources? Or maybe, what do I do with posts that get impressions but no clicks?
You're anticipating the conversation the user is about to have with the bot.
Exactly. You're not creating a new universe of content. You're just making your existing content much denser with specific answers.
Okay, so we've got the research method. Now let's look at the actual writing. The source provides a formula for these self-contained chunks. And I want to try this out live because I think it's hard to visualize just hearing it.
Let's do it.
Okay. The topic is, how often should I email my newsletter list? Give me the typical bad, fluffy way that most people write this.
Okay, the fluffy version starts something like this. In today's fast-paced digital landscape, staying top of mind is critical. Many marketers wonder about frequency. While there is no one-size-fits-all answer, it's important to find a balance.
I'm already bored, and I haven't learned a single thing. It sounds like a politician trying to answer a direct question.
And the AI classifies that as generic advice and just ignores it. Now, let's apply the formula from the source. Answer plus constraints plus proof.
All right, hit me. Part one, the answer.
The answer. For B2B services, a weekly cadence is optimal for maintaining engagement without causing list fatigue. Boom. Direct.
Okay. No fluff at all. Then part two, the constraints. This is the nuance, I guess.
The constraints. However, if your open rates drop below 20%, pause and switch to bi-weekly. High-frequency sending also requires a strict segmentation strategy to avoid spam triggers.
A very specific thresholds, below 20%. That gives the AI something real to latch onto. And finally, the proof.
The proof?
Yeah.
For example, when company X switched from monthly to weekly updates, they saw a 15% increase in demo requests within 2 months.
That is such a tight, modular block of information.
It is. And notice, it stands completely alone. If an AI pulls that paragraph out and serves it to a user asking about newsletter frequency for B2B, it's a complete answer. It doesn't need the rest of the article to make sense.
It does feel a little risky to be that direct, though. What if the reader isn't B2B?
That's why you label it. You aren't trying to be the answer for everyone. You're trying to be the best answer for that specific query. If you try to answer everyone, you answer no one, and the AI will ignore you.
There's also a warning here about using AI to write this stuff, which feels a little ironic. We're optimizing for AI, but we shouldn't use AI to write it.
It's a crucial distinction. If you use ChatGPT to draft your content, you are essentially generating the average answer, because that's what LLMs do. They predict the most likely next word based on the average of the internet.
So you create generic content that just gets lost in the pile of all the other generic content.
Exactly. Use AI to edit. Use it to check for holes in your argument. But humans have to add the specific data points, the constraints, the what breaks, details that an AI cannot possibly infer from its training data.
Okay, we have the research, we have the writing. Now we have to talk about the plumbing. There's a technical warning in here about JavaScript that scares me a little bit. It feels like a trapdoor.
It is a trapdoor.
Mm.
And it catches a lot of really sophisticated companies. Many modern websites are built as single-page applications. Essentially, when you visit, your browser has to build the page on the fly.
So it's like ordering a meal at a restaurant where they bring you all the raw ingredients and your table has to cook it.
That's a great analogy. For a human, it can look slick. But for an AI crawler, which is trying to scan millions of pages a second, it often doesn't wait for the cooking to finish. It just looks at the code, sees an empty shell, and moves on.
So you think you have this beautiful, content-rich site, but the AI just sees an empty room?
Exactly. It's called client-side rendering. If the text isn't in the initial HTML that's delivered, you are rolling the dice on whether an AI will ever see it. The fix is boring, but it's essential. Server-side rendering. Make sure the food is cooked before it leaves the kitchen.
Noted. Check your rendering. Now let's pivot to authority. In the old days, authority was simple. How many people link to me? Is that still the currency?
For Google rankings, yes, backlinks are still king. But AI models learn differently. They learn by association. They read the whole web forums, Reddit, reviews, news articles.
So they're looking for patterns in the language itself.
Right. They're measuring share of voice and sentiment. If your brand is constantly mentioned alongside words like enterprise, secure, and scalable, the model creates a probabilistic link. It learns. Brand X equals enterprise security.
Even if there isn't a blue clickable link?
Even without the link. This is why unlinked mentions are the new gold. You need to be protective of how you're described, not just where you're linked.
So digital PR isn't just about link building anymore. It's about managing the entire narrative.
It's about training the model. You want to pick two or three specific claims. We are the fastest, or we are the safest, and ensure those exact claims are repeated consistently across your site and your offsite mentions. You're connecting the dots for the algorithm.
This all sounds great, but I can hear the listeners thinking, I have a backlog a mile long. I can't rewrite my entire website. And honestly, looking at my own site, I feel exhausted just thinking about it.
Please don't try to rewrite everything. That's the quickest way to burn out. The source suggests a retrofitting model. It's a 30-day plan, but I really like the weekly routine they outline. It's very manageable.
Okay, let's break that routine down. What does a realistic week look like for a small team?
It's the rule of one. One upgrade, one publish, one push.
Okay, start with one upgrade.
You pick one existing page that's ranking on page two or three. It's knocking on the door. Don't change the URL. So open it up, look at the headers, and inject those prompt first sections we just talked about. Add the constraints, add the specific data, make it dense.
Okay, that takes maybe an hour. Then one publish.
You write one new piece of content that fills a specific gap in your prompt neighborhood. Maybe it's that comparison page you've been avoiding because you didn't want to mention your competitors.
But the users are asking for it, so you have to write it, okay? And one push.
This is distribution. Go get one brand mention, go on a podcast, answer a HR request, write a LinkedIn post that gets people talking about your specific expertise. Just one a week.
That feels really sustainable. Over a year, that's 52 upgraded pages and 52 new authority signals.
Exactly. It compounds. And you monitor it using two lanes of metrics. You keep your traditional traffic metrics for the bill payer, but you start tracking AI visibility. So mentions, sentiment, and share voice.
Because if you aren't tracking both, you're missing half the picture. You might be winning the click, but losing the discovery battle upstream.
Or vice versa. You might be getting mentioned everywhere by ChatGPT, but if you aren't converting that into actual business value, you need to know why.
We've covered a massive amount of ground today, from the chunking insight to the death of generic content to the empty restaurant problem. If you had to distill this entire deep dive into one key takeaway, what would it be?
It's this. AI is the great averager.
What do you mean by that?
An AI model is trained on the entire internet, right?
Yeah.
So when you ask it a question, it gives you the median answer, the consensus of what the world thinks. And that means the average answer is now a commodity. It's free and it's instant.
So if your content just provides the average advice,
you are obsolete. You are just training data for the machine. The only way to win, the only way to be the source that the AI cites, is to provide the thing the average cannot guess.
The specific constraints.
The specific failure modes.
Yeah.
The human nuance. The messy reality of what happens when this goes wrong. That is where all the value lives now.
So if you are generic, you are training data. Yeah. If you are specific, you are the answer.
That's the bumper sticker right there.
I love that. That's a wrap for this deep dive. Thanks for listening to the Content Ship podcast. Now go look at your content and ask yourself, are you the average or are you the answer? See you next time.